This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. This interview is one in a series CIFA Radio 88.7 FM is conducting ahead of the federal 2025 election occurring April 28th. Our aim is to make a reasonable effort to showcase each candidate running in the Prince George Cariboo riding and the Prince George Peace River Northern Rockies riding, which both intersect our community of Prince George Clay-Lytonay. The intention of the series is to give each candidate an opportunity to share their goals and objectives for their respective ridings and give the audience a sense of who these people are. The following has been edited for clarity and brevity. We met in Prince George Clay-Lytonay with Angie Bonazzo, the NDP candidate running in the Cariboo Prince George riding. She works as a mental health support worker for the Northern Health Authority at the University Hospital of Northern British Columbia and is also a labor representative in the work she does there. Do you mind just giving us a little introduction of your professional experience, just a little bit about yourself? Who are you? Who is Angie Bonazzo?
I've worked for the Northern Health Authority since 2007. I started in Fort Nelson, moved down to Dawson Creek, made my way to Prince George. Have always been the low-ranking person in the nursing structure as a nursing assistant. Have worked in a variety of roles in a variety of different departments. Started up at Detox, which is otherwise known as the Adult Withdrawal Management Unit. And it was there that I saw the impact of public health policy on individuals who struggle with mental health and substance use disorders. In the backdrop of that, I am a very active shop steward, highly sought after at meetings, and bargained the last collective agreement, not this previous or this one that we're in now, but the previous one, and realized the importance of having a strong voice on the Hill to maintain transfer payments going to the provinces to maintain their social programs. So this is what galvanized me to get up and run for the party that has always been for public health care in this country, the NDP.
Various provinces depend on these transfer payments to support things like education, health, basically the public services that we rely on. Is that a correct summation?
Absolutely.
You know, on the left to right political spectrum, where do you feel you sit and where do you feel the party you represent sits?
The NDP sits on the left. These days, though, I would say that the political spectrum, it's not either far left or far right. I think it goes along like a scale. And with younger generations, they tend to pick, as an example, they cherry pick from parties and ideologies that work for them. So this is where you get this fluidity with younger generations along this flexible sort of like idea of where they sit on the political spectrum. I am on the left, but a little more closer to the center of left than far left. I'm not at the edge of the table. I'm more into the center of the dance floor.
So within your experience of healthcare, you touched on a couple items which are pretty interesting. The healthcare system in British Columbia is pretty stretched. ERs, they're not open consistently. We have a shortage of healthcare professionals. On top of it, the toxic drug crisis is claiming lives at an alarming rate. To address those problems, is there something more root you feel could cure that? And is there a few Band-Aid things you could throw on top to ease the pain in the short term? Within the Cariboo Prince George riding, what message would you bring to Ottawa?
In terms of rural ERs closing, this is an alarming notion to most Canadians. I would go so far as to say that if somebody is coming into a rural ER, they're often referred to a higher level of care anyways, because there's limited resources to manage what they require in terms of their health care. So that's not a very good answer. But oftentimes there are ERs open that are in closer proximity to people that can better serve them if they require emergent care. So you get into like this picky thing about, you know, what is an emergency? You know, it's a picky thing and you can only really address that in the moment. I do know that in the north, the larger communities work very hard to accommodate those emergency room closures. In the rural areas, there's also the delivery of like Zoom care from doctors, like from other areas in like the Coastal Health Authority, that's Vancouver. to actually manage and then get people airlifted out to a higher level of care. So I don't know if that's a satisfying answer to your listeners, but this is what we're doing now. Canada's immigration policy, there's a lot of talent, there's a lot of medical talent that are being not put on the work floor here. A lot of issues around worker shortage can be addressed in the portfolio of what we're doing with our immigration and getting these healthcare professionals certified to be on the floor and delivering the healthcare that we need. You're seeing it a little bit here in Prince George, but not to the capacity of where we could fully utilize the talent that is trained overseas. So to address that as a Band-Aid, the NDP is working hard to fix the immigration issues that are going on with trained professionals that can't go on the shop floor and work. Yeah, the toxic drug crisis. So this lands in the province's portfolio of healthcare. This isn't really a federal initiative. There is a lot of criticism around the safe supply that was delivered in British Columbia. A lot of criticism around it. So to answer the toxic drug crisis, you'd have to talk to a BC provincial person because this really is their portfolio. As a federal candidate, I can't really speak to the toxicity of what's going on out there. All that to say, working in that unit, all levels of society are represented with substance use disorder. There's not one pocket of a certain group or a cultural group that is represented in the unit. So this is a societal issue. So where does it go to? Is it because we're lonely? Is it because we're isolated? Did the COVID pandemic drive us into using more? And, you know, you don't even have to be using a toxic substance. You could be doom scrolling, gaming, shopping. There's all sorts of like addictive behaviors, right? We don't realize it, but we're getting a dopamine hit when we stare at our screens. So, you know, how do you repair this crisis? Well, we can't undo the pandemic. The only thing that we can do is work at, you know, the counseling structures and maybe working as a society so we don't feel as lonely and isolated. Because where you have addiction, you have loneliness and isolation. And to alleviate that isolation, you're getting into an addictive behavior. So it's a big, complicated issue. And I hope I didn't muddy the issue by getting into these long-winded answers, but
when we look at the toxic drug crisis and isolation that you're referring to, isolation can also come about with the stigma of homelessness, the stigma of addiction itself. The issue of housing and the cost of housing and how many people are pushed out of being able to not only own a home, but even just rent a home is also playing a part in these multiple crises. Do you have a perspective on what could help the housing shortage in the Cariboo Prince George riding? What kind of message would you take to Ottawa? What do you feel would actually help address this issue?
Jagmeet Singh has gone on to promise that we would bring in rental caps because the right to housing has been turned into a commodity. So billionaires that are currently leading the other parties have exploited renters with their exceptional rents. So the NDP is on the books to fight that. The British Columbia NDP have built and bought hotels to accommodate some of the marginalized individuals that are experiencing homelessness. On a national level, though, I don't know if landowners would be really accepting of a rental cap, right? So you've got a battle there with the entrepreneurial spirit and the social requirement of, you know, everybody has a right to housing. It's not a commodity. And that will be battled out on the floor of the House of Commons. In the short term, you know, there is this notion to revive our mills, to actually get our forestry sector, you know, working, milling our logs here, and from the forest to the mill, having good tradespeople jobs, building housing, affordable housing in our communities, in our northern communities.
Skill development and education are part and parcel. To that extent, when we're looking at post-secondary education, something the federal government does have some purview in, whereas primary education is more to the provincial level. Is there a position that the NDP carries that you feel would help the plight of people in post-secondary? People are emerging with a lot of debt. Education is becoming less of a priority as people exit primary schools because of the financial burden. There's the cost of rent, which is very
very high if you have to leave your community to seek education. And then there's the cost of education itself, the price of groceries. So I don't know if you want to take this as a two for one, but post-secondary education incentives and, you know, the cost of living, that's everybody's feeling the crunch on. What are your thoughts for the Cariboo Prince George riding?
Well, the BC NDP has had tremendous success training healthcare workers. So there was an HCAP program. Now there's a recreation therapy program where the province is paying people a living wage and their education. So they're able to get these tickets so they're allowed to work on the work floor. It's not that far of a reach for the federal government to do that. There's no campaign promise on the books about training tradespeople or healthcare people. There is these grand promises of hiring, you know, 325,000 nurses and hiring doctors. There has been, in my communication, no official word about how to keep people educated and trained up for meaningful jobs, right? You know, that translate into like a living wage. So stay tuned, because I would hope in a wishful thinking scenario that the federal NDP would actually look to the successes of the BC NDP and how, you know, they've been able to deliver healthcare training on the floor, getting people trained and getting them up and working without, like, you know, disabling debt, without starving to death. So yeah, stay tuned for that, because there's nothing on the books yet. So I can't speak to it like a campaign promise, right? I'm only articulating what the party has sort of fed down to me. But I do know, you know, working in this province, there has been great successes with the BC NDP. And I hope that the federal NDP look to the BC NDP for guidance.
As it pertains to relationship buildings, if you were successfully elected for the Cariboo Prince George riding, there are so many disparate parties that need to be connected in order for really any issue to advance. I'm thinking of, you referred to earlier, between private homeowners or the entrepreneurial spirit and perhaps the public sector of building houses. I'm also thinking of nation-to-nation relations between federal entities and Indigenous governments. The various levels of government and so on and so forth. There's all these different people with competing ideas sometimes. What is your personal strategy to relationship building, getting along and getting things done?
So we're gonna go from the bottom part of that question, where the benefits that have come out of this weird administration south of the border has created the solidarity in Canada that hasn't really been seen before. And we just saw in the last 24 hours, Ontario, New Brunswick, and Nova Scotia creating a better interprovincial working framework to do internal trading. So within that, within the solidarity to buy Canadian, to have a greater identity and a greater sovereignty as Canadians, I am hopeful that, you know, we'll be able to solve that within our provincial borders and at a national level. I have a unique gift that's been honed in all of my years of healthcare, of really listening to people. And I think a lot of those great divides amongst us are because we're not really listening to each other. So my personal approach is to hold space and truly listen. And here's an example. I am really disconnected from farming. I know my urban life here in Prince George. It wasn't until I actually started speaking to livestock owners and really listening to them around their issues about not harvesting, but processing their animals at abattoirs, and the prevailing need for a federally licensed abattoir between Williams Lake and 100 Mile House. Because otherwise they have to bring them to Dawson Creek, book an appointment because Dawson Creek is very busy for processing, or Smithers. If I didn't have that presence, that frame of mind to sit and listen to a pork farmer, I wouldn't have discovered this pervasive need in this riding for this abattoir that has been promised by a different sitting MP that hasn't been delivered on. And if it wasn't for that listening skill and that openness to be curious, to listen, I might not have the opportunity to actually satisfy that need for that area. So this is the cornerstone, I believe, of relationship building, holding presence. Just if you stay open and curious that you might learn something, this is the greatest broker for great outcomes of relationship building.
Why did you get involved?
I felt limited in my capacity to actually make a meaningful difference. So somebody actually challenged me in my work, saying, you know, because everybody has an opinion about how things are done. So I thought, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll make a difference. I'll stand up and I'll run for this, right? And I'm a very results-oriented person. So if I can deliver on getting a federally licensed abattoir between 100 Mile and Williams Lake, yay me, right? Angie wins at life. And this is why I want to do this.
Thanks so much for joining me in this really hot studio.
Yeah.
On a beautiful spring day. You're listening to Angie Bonazzo, who's running in the Caribou Prince George riding for the federal NDP party. Thanks for your time.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or CFUR.ca.